along with Alex Kuhn, Jeff Downing, our associate producer, has left the penalty box and is back on the ice with us. That can mean only one thing. We'll get to Woodja coming up in just a few minutes. It is official, by the way. We talked about it yesterday on the program. Miles Bridges back in East Lansing for another season, despite the fact that Tom Izzo and everybody advising him said, dude, you are a lottery pick. Leave school, go to the NBA, get paid. He's coming back. It's bad news for the rest of the Big Ten. Good news if you're a Michigan State fan.
If that doesn't show you how much the players love Miles, or excuse me, the players love Tom Izzo, I don't know what does. His own coach told him, go to the NBA. He's back.
We'll get to that story coming up in a little bit more. Baseball this afternoon, Cubs a 4-0 winner over the Dodgers. They're now 6-3 on the season. Brett Anderson working out pretty well on the back end of that rotation, a .84 ERA. Home runs today by Anthony Rizzo and Addison Russell. Russell's left the yard, a very impressive shot. Twins also a winner today. They beat the Tigers 11-5. Former Cedar Rapids Colonel Max Kepler hit a home run, as did Miguel Sano. At least he's off to a hot start. Byron Buxton continues to be a little slow out of the gate. Phil Hughes now 2-0 on the season. White Sox in action as we speak. They're taking on the Cleveland Indians and having no problems in downtown Cleveland. They're up 7-1. Poor Cleveland. Something about playing Chicago teams at Progressive Field doesn't necessarily work out well for them in the end. The Brewers and the Reds tangle tonight as well in Cincinnati. Lots of Major League Baseball action we can get to, but the Twins-Tigers game final, along with the Cubs and the Dodgers. Pirates fell to the Red Sox today 4-3, as well as the Angels on the short end of an 8-3 decision to the Rangers. Jeff Downing, welcome into the studio. Playing musical chairs the last couple days with our associate producer, and we expect to do so over the next couple weeks as we figure out who the right member of the team is to add moving forward on a permanent basis. But how have you been?
We're doing well. It's golfing season. Stop by the golf course. That's where I work during the summer.
You are at Jones,
no.
Correct?
No. No. There's nobody there. There's nobody at Jones.
I thought they kept that one open.
I don't know. That's another story.
Okay, you're at Twin Pines.
I'm a gardener.
You're a gardener. Well, I knew if I got to airport or Saddleback in Solon, I eventually would have gotten there. Mm-hmm. But it's good golf weather.
The golf course is in excellent condition. Come on out. Still got some tee times available this weekend if you want to come on out. Should be a good weekend.
Cart path only?
It's a little soft in a few places. Use a little common sense. We did get a cart stuck earlier this week.
I don't think I've ever been accused of using common sense on a golf course in my life.
Yeah.
Stumpy wants us to golf with him this summer in some outing in Marengo, and I have yet to commit to that. But I get out like 2 or 3 times a year, so it's not very good for my golf game. I don't have a golf game at all. But I like to go out and I like to hit the ball around and drink a couple beers and at the end of the day, just relax a little bit.
There's a lot of guys that come out and ladies as well that come out. They have no golf game. They come out and have fun anyway. Just a good way to get away from everything.
I've yet to see someone with less of a golf game than yours truly.
You don't golf?
I do sometimes, but I'm so awful.
Well, you're too tall for one thing. You need special clubs.
I don't know if I'm right or left-handed. That's how bad it is.
I thought Cal Eldred said everybody from Wildwood was born with a set of clubs in their garage.
Well, they're
when you were first hired. Aren't you part of the country club set down there? Oh, look at how his face is turning red.
We're not part of a country club anymore.
Look at that card.
Anymore. He said anymore. Drop the membership.
Yes.
Dues got a little too expensive. That's, by the way, not to go from that into something a little more serious, but that's tough news about Lou Brock.
It is.
With bone cancer. I knew that he had the amputation, but that's unfortunate news there for the Chicago Cubs Hall of Famer. We wish him all of the best moving forward. I think he played for another team, too, before Ricky Henderson broke his all-time stolen base record. Mm-hmm. Ernie Broglio lives in Cubs history. Is Ernie still alive?
Maybe. Hey, I wasn't going to bring it up. You brought it up.
Maybe Ernie gets a Cubs ring as well. People continue to act as if this is blowing their minds that there were 1,908 rings handed out by the Cubs, as if that was some sort of accident of fate. They made that decision on purpose. They did it so that the number was 1908. Some people, man, P.T. Barnum said there's a sucker born every minute. Well, what a coincidence. 1,908 rings. And there's 108 diamonds on the ring, one for every year the Cubs didn't win in the world. What a small world full of coincidences. Now, we don't have an open for Would Ya because, quite frankly, I've been lazy and I didn't get it done this week. But, Jeff, this is the first time that you've ever done this. We've given you a list of questions, and you're going to ask them to Alex and myself, and we will go back and forth.
This is the first time? So
this is, I think, the first time, right? I don't recall you.
I did. I had some.
You did Blank Space.
Is that what it was?
And you did
They all
Who
run.
Am I?
They all run together.
Yeah.
No, I just remember the Who Am I, where I left the instructions at the bottom because I couldn't stay long enough to give it to you.
And Jeff had a hard time reading your handwriting.
Did you write right-handed or left-handed? I'm not sure.
We're not sure. Okay. So you go ahead and pick who gets the first crack at each question. That's how it works.
Todd, let's start with you. Number one, would you like to see the Iowa Hawkeyes take a break from playing Iowa State Cyclones during future football seasons?
This is a subject that's getting a little bit of play on some Iowa websites in the wake of Tuesday's announcement that Middle Tennessee State was on Iowa's schedule for the 2019 season. I would like to see this only if you replaced Iowa State every other year with an equal or better Power 5 team. I think taking a break from the series doesn't make much sense from a standpoint of if you get rid of them and you replace them with a Middle Tennessee State, then you're not doing yourself any good there at all. I said Iowa uses Iowa State as a human shield for the Power 5 non-conference game argument, and they essentially do. I wouldn't be surprised to see 2021, 2022, whenever this contract is over, that maybe they do visit taking a break from this. Maybe you play twice every 4 years or something like that, and it gives both teams a little bit more flexibility. But do I think that's going to happen? No. Would it be the end of the world? No.
I don't think it'd be good. And I see some of these rivalries out there that have been absolutely obliterated because of realignment. I think it's criminal that Kansas and Missouri don't play anymore. I think it's criminal that Texas and Texas A&M don't play anymore. Nebraska and Oklahoma. There is so much, and I've learned this over the past 3 to 7 years that I've been here, there is so much animosity between the two fan bases that I think that they need to play each other more often than not. However, if they were to take 1 or 2 years off, the Iowa Hawkeyes better come up with a situation where the alternative is better. And by that, I mean a neutral site or a home and home against a team where you're really challenging yourself. And I'm not suggesting Alabama or Auburn or anybody from the SEC for that matter. But it has to be an intriguing matchup, whether it's Arkansas at a neutral site, whether it's Missouri at a neutral site. There has to be some kind of incentive for the fans to give them an alternative to what they see every year between Iowa and Iowa State, because for me, that's the most fun week of the year when you get those two fan bases clashing and going after each other. And it pretty much happens every week, but more so when those two football teams square off.
See?
Yeah.
Next question. Alex, would you pay $500 for a replica of your favorite team's championship ring?
No.
And you've got the money. Let's make it very clear. You're not living paycheck to paycheck or anything. You've got expendable income.
No, I didn't earn that ring. And I go back to my last job 3 years ago. I was announcing for a baseball team. And they came out with one game short of winning the championship. Had they won, I would have gotten a championship ring. I was devastated because I wanted to earn that championship ring. There's a replica ring sitting on my desk right now from the 2006 St. Louis Cardinals. It just sort of sits there. I don't notice it. I don't really. Every once in a while, I'll play around with it. I'll wear it. I'll whatever. But it just doesn't do anything for me. Like you said earlier, Todd, I didn't earn that. I'm not on the team. I'm not paying $500 for a fake ring.
I don't think I would. I don't think I will. I've looked at it. I've had my finger hovering over the mouse a couple times today. But if I'm going to drop $500 on something to add to my memorabilia collection related to the Cubs or Blackhawks, Packers, any of the other teams that I follow.
Chicago Fire.
My Chicago Fire. Schweinsteiger. The guy that they
Bastian
just got.
Bastian
somebody or other from Germany. My Chicago Fire. They made a big player personnel move recently. I think like $500, I could probably get an Ernie Banks autographed baseball and have money left over for another baseball or two to add to my collection. You can get a lot for $500. And the ring would just sort of sit there in a display case because I would never wear it because that would be just gaudy and I don't want to say tacky because I don't want to offend anybody out there that would wear a replica championship ring. Maybe there's a good reason for it. Maybe you're trying to impress a girl or you're trying to get comps at the new casino that they're going to try to build here in Cedar Rapids. I don't know. I don't know. But I wouldn't do it.
Just saying.
Gary Rima said he wore his Waterloo Bucks ring to the casino all the time, and he said it was his lucky ring.
How much for a Cedar Valley Court Kings replica ring?
Not $500.
Okay.
I don't know if they make replica. They're probably made by Jostens, the class ring. Yes. People are. That's the company that made the Cubs ring.
Okay.
Jostens.
I didn't even get a class ring, so I'm not going to get a replica.
Yeah,
ring.
Neither did I.
Yeah. Moving on. Number three, Todd, would you draft Mitch Trubisky if you were the Chicago Bears?
I just got a text from one of tomorrow's guests, Jack Dom. He says, save money for the Cubs stuff at the Mount Mercy Baseball fundraiser later this month. Exactly. $500 will get you an autographed Anthony Rizzo photo when you're trying to bid up somebody else. I'm done with auctions, man. I am done. I tried bidding up somebody in my fantasy league last weekend on Javier Baez, and I got stuck with him. Because I thought, oh, this guy's a Cubs fan. He's going to continue to go north. Yeah, I overpaid for Javi Baez. Would I draft Mitch Trubisky if I were the Chicago Bears? Yes, I would, but not at number three. And he's not going to be there when the Bears have their next draft pick unless they made some sort of trade to acquire another selection. Quarterback desperation. That was the term that was used yesterday when we were talking with Dane Brugler from CBS Sports. And it's not going away anytime soon. Every year we talk about how many quarterbacks are first-round material, and 6 months out from the draft, people say one or two. And then the draft is 2 weeks away, and Patrick Mahomes out of Texas Tech is going in the first round in mock drafts to teams like the New York Giants, and all of a sudden teams are overreacting again. The Mike Glennon deal could very well be a one-year deal because of what the guaranteed money is. They're not going to owe him anything more than 1 year of pay, essentially. And Mitch Trubisky, by all accounts, sounds like he's got the chops to possibly be a franchise quarterback. But that number three position is not a bad place to be with the players available at the top of this year's draft, the non-quarterback players. And I know you have a particular guy in mind. You mentioned him yesterday, so I don't want to step on your thoughts here. Maybe you've changed your mind since yesterday. I don't know.
You know, I like Jonathan Allen. And maybe Solomon Thomas from Stanford, who is also a monster, falls to them at number three, depending on what the San Francisco 49ers do. I really like Mitchell Trubisky. And I've watched him over this 1 year that he started at North Carolina. More on that in a second. And I agree, and I said this probably 4 or 5 months ago, that he reminds me, and I'm not trying to be Hawk Harrelson here, reminds me a lot of what Aaron Rodgers looked like
I thought you were going to say Tyler Saladino.
When he was at Cal, not what he looks like now, but what he looked like, somewhat of an unrefined project when he was at Cal. The one thing that scares me, though, is I go back and I look that at North Carolina, Mitchell Trubisky started for only one season. He could not beat out Marquise Williams for the starting position. Marquise Williams was undrafted. He is still a free agent, was cut by both the Minnesota Vikings and the Green Bay Packers in camp last year. So that for a one-year starter in college, you're going to spend a number three overall pick. That reeks of desperation to me. So, no, I would not. Jonathan Allen is the safe pick. He's there at number three. If he's not, and the 49ers fall in love with him, then Solomon Thomas is there as well, who I saw him play against Mitchell Trubisky in the Sun Bowl, looks every bit as dominant as Jonathan Allen. So there are too many good options defensively to spend the number three overall pick on a one-year college starter.
Next question, Alex. How much more patience would you have with Byron Buxton if you were a Twins fan?
The guy's 23 years old, so I think by 26, that's always a number I've heard where you should start to see the full potential of a player by age 26. So he has 3 years to go. But it's alarming. And I don't know how much more patience that Twins fans are going to have with him, because the previous regime, I think, really took ownership of it. They said they rushed him. They brought him up too quickly, and he never really got to develop. He never really got to find his rhythm and become consistent. And you have seen flashes at the end of last year where he looks like you see flashes of him, his brilliance. But then you see the beginning of this year where he's 2-for-29 with 17 strikeouts, and you scratch your head. And I think it was at the beginning of the season, Tyler had laid out a stat where he had seen 35 pitches and swung at 21 of them. That's just not going to get it done. The clock is ticking for Byron Buxton. I don't think it's time to give up on him right now, but it's getting close. I'm not going to say give up, but like I said, the clock is ticking.
He had a fantastic September last year, and it was one that I think the Twins were hoping that he would come to spring training and be able to build off of. And we talked with him prior to the hot stove and the winter caravan when it passed through Cedar Rapids, and he's such a great kid. And I want to see him succeed so desperately because he is very, very easy to root for. But he's got this year tops. And look, when he's out there, he's still playing Gold Glove caliber defense. So when I say give up on the guy, I sort of mean give up on the ghost of the idea that he's going to be Andrew McCutchen in his prime years and this sort of 30 home run, 30 steal, 40 steal threat where he's playing Gold Glove defense and a notch or two below Mike Trout. He's going to be a big league ball player for a long time. But the more and more it looks like he's going to be an average everyday ball player with some standout skills, his being defensively. And when he does get on base, he can run. But his discipline at the plate is not where the Twins want it to be. And Harold Reynolds did a tremendous segment on MLB Network a couple nights ago. Maybe it was last night. The days all run together. But they pointed out that Byron Buxton's not following the ball with his head when he's at the plate, that he keeps leaving his head up. And even when he was going well last September, he was doing a little bit of that. And Reynolds's point was when you do that, you can't be successful on a consistent basis. And hopefully he gets over this slump. Now the Twins are looking okay out of the gate. Miguel Sano's hitting the ball. They're getting some decent pitching. The Jason Castro signing is paying some dividends. But they really need Byron Buxton to live up to his potential. Unfortunately, at this point, I'm starting to believe that that may never occur.
Final question for Todd. Would you rather have Easter without the Easter Bunny or Christmas without Santa Claus?
Easter with no Easter Bunny or Christmas with no Santa Claus? I'm going to say that I would rather have Christmas without Santa Claus. because if I want something, I don't have to ask Santa for it. I'm an adult. I can go out and buy my own presents. But ever since I was a little kid, I have always looked forward to Easter Sunday, waking up and coming downstairs and looking to see what the Easter Bunny has brought me in my Easter basket. More often than not, I get my fair share of Cadbury eggs. And that's the go-to for the Easter Bunny because he knows my tastes. I can't imagine Easter without the Easter Bunny. I could do Christmas without Santa.
Who's the Easter Bunny? I've never met the Easter Bunny. I've never sat in the Easter Bunny's lap and had him ask me.
You can take pictures with the Easter Bunny now at most local malls.
I'm sure you can, but I...
$30 a pop.
I didn't grow up with that. The Easter Bunny is not bringing me a new bike. It's not. He's not bringing me... He or she is not bringing me anything that Santa can bring with me. Bring to me. Christmas without Santa Claus just doesn't... It doesn't add up. That he is so much a fixture of Christmas. The Easter Bunny, nah. He or she can go.
Now, there is this epidemic, and I've seen it firsthand, where sometimes the Easter Bunny has a little Santa Claus to him in this day and age, and I'm not a fan of that. Only
in
Santa,
what way?
He's bringing kids more than Easter baskets and hiding eggs.
Okay.
He's bringing bikes, and he's bringing toys.
That's
and Easter
ridiculous.
Is becoming a second Christmas. Nope. Not sure what some of the Easter bunnies out there are doing, but no bueno in my book. Well, that's it. That's another edition of Woodja. Next week, we'll have a nice shiny intro for it, and it'll be one more thing that people will complain about because it's not the APC's version of the Woodja.
But I'll tell you what's not happening to Woodja.
It's not getting flushed down the toilet.
That's not going to be happening.
It's not going anywhere. Speaking of the Easter Bunny, my wife was looking sort of half-heartedly out the window today as she was getting ready for work, and she thought a rabbit had jumped up onto the steps on our front porch. And so she yelled down to me and she said, "Grab Tommy," that's my son, "and show him the Easter Bunny. He's outside." And so I picked my son up off the floor, and he gives me the look. He turns 9 months old today, even though he was 3 months premature. And he gives me the look like, this better be good, because I'm laying on the floor and I'm playing with my toys. What's going on? So we go and we pull back the blinds and we look out, and it was a squirrel. And I said, I thought it was going to be the Easter Bunny. And he just said, "Oh, nuts."
He said that?
No, he didn't.
Okay.
He doesn't talk.
Oh.
He cries a lot.
Far along.
He cries a lot, but no talking yet. And I don't even want to go home tonight because I know he had prunes for lunch. And that's usually not good. The kernels are at home tonight, so my wife is going to be at work all night long. And I get to deal with the after effects of prunes. And I also get to bring you, when we return, another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Audio from Ken O'Keefe and Kelton Copeland from Iowa City on the way after this.
Cedar Rapids kernels at the good times roll.
This Saturday, the Colonels have an adult Easter egg hunt for fans 21 and over. Following the game, the field will be covered with hundreds of eggs filled with free beer and popcorn coupons, shooters of alcohol, tons of candy, and one grand prize egg with a free night in a Colonel's Diamond Suite. Visit Colonels.com to get your tickets now for the best party in town and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
I actually use 1-800-Flowers. I order them for my wife. They arrive on time, and they last a long time. And they help me get through the cold and wet winter. But right now, the winter's over, and it is officially tulip season at 1-800-Flowers.com. When it comes to surprising your friends and loved ones with the best blooms, with the brightest colors, there's only one place to go. That's 1-800-Flowers.com. These gorgeous flowers have arrived just in time for Easter at a truly unbeatable price. Right now, 1-800-Flowers is giving my listeners an exclusive 30 for 30 offer. 30 assorted tulips for just $30. That's only a dollar per tulip, but it expires on Friday. So right now, go to 1-800-Flowers.com. Take advantage of those 30 tulips for $30. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter the code Jacoby. Once again, 1-800-Flowers.com. Enter the code Jacoby. But it expires on Friday.
As a 300-foot-tall dino monster, people think all I'm good at is rampaging. But there's more to me than that. Just like Geico. Yeah, they could save you money, but they also have over 75 years of savings and service. So Geico is super good at insurance. And yeah, I like rampaging. But I'm also a huge fan of opera.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
I met someone. It's something you hear a lot from people on Match. Because more people have met their someone on Match than any other dating app. Everyone wants to find that meaningful connection. Match is number one in first, but also in second dates too. Now I'm going to hook you up. For my listeners, go to match.com/sports for 7 days free. That's 7 days completely free to search and connect for my listeners. This free offer is only found at match.com/sports. That's match.com/sports.
The Santa Claus folks are out in full force on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line.
Are they mad at you or me?
No, they're mad at me.
Okay.
They are mad at me. Look, it is
they have a gripe.
It's a tough call, but I've got a sweet tooth. And I know, look, you get
just
candy.
Steal Santa's cookies.
You get
Santa's
candy
cookies
in your stocking, but the Easter Bunny brings you the Cadbury eggs. This goes back to when I was little. I was obsessed with Cadbury eggs to the point now where it has become a running joke in my family. And a week ago, I go to the mailbox and there's a package in there addressed to my son. And I open it because he's 9 months old and he doesn't have the manual dexterity to open a package and we don't trust him with sharp objects. And inside is his very first Easter basket and is loaded with Cadbury eggs. And the package was from my aunt. And there was a note inside that said, "Happy Easter. I thought I would make it better by sending you some Easter candy. And if you're not up to enjoying them yet because you're too young, I'm sure your dad will take care of it for you." So it's still, I'm 36 years old. I'll be 37 next week. You can bring your presents to the Coach's Corner, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard in Iowa City tomorrow. I still, every year, indulge in buying at least 1 3-pack of Cadbury eggs.
Are those the chocolate with the marshmallow
they
inside?
It's a cream filling.
Okay.
I don't even want to know. It's probably one of those things where there are 50 ingredients that make up the filling and you can't pronounce 2/3
of
them.
They're all chemicals.
And most people will tell you, that causes cancer, that causes cancer. I don't know if you saw this. Kelly Clarkson fed her 2-year-old daughter Nutella for the first time and posted it on, I think it was Instagram, and then she had a bunch of people yelling at her that Nutella causes cancer. I've got news for people out there. Virtually everything causes cancer, okay? So, I don't know, just let people live their lives. Wouldn't this be so much better, this being life, if people just let you live?
Yeah.
If we didn't have Colin Cowherd. No, there I go again with the Colin stuff. I said I wasn't going to talk about him. But if you enjoy Cadbury eggs, eat a Cadbury egg. I enjoy steak. I'm overweight. I'm probably going to die because I enjoy steak a little bit too much. But you know what? As long as I'm breathing, I'm going to enjoy my life. Cadbury eggs, ribeyes and all. And now I just got the idea of combining Cadbury eggs and ribeyes, and I don't necessarily want to go down that road. But this Sunday can't get here soon enough, because once Sunday is in the rearview mirror, it means on Monday, all of the Easter candy, including Cadbury eggs, are going to be marked down at all the local stores. Let's get you a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. The Cedar Rapids Colonels are back in town tonight at Veterans Memorial Stadium. They're taking on the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers at 6:35. The Timber Rattlers are the Midwest League affiliate of the Milwaukee Brewers. Right-hander Tyler Wells gets the start for the Colonels. They took 2 of 3 on the road from the Kane County Cougars during their recent road trip earlier this week. Colonels today announced a roster move. Dominic Carlini joining the team from extended spring training. Right-hander Brady Anderson has been promoted to Fort Myers. The Iowa softball team swept Nebraska Wednesday night at Pearl Field. They took game 1 4-3, then came back with the nightcap, a 5-2 winner. Iowa now 5-6 in the Big Ten. They'll host Rutgers for a 3-game weekend series beginning Friday night. The Iowa State women's basketball team has added Australian transfer Bridie Kennedy Hopwe to its roster. The 6'4 forward signed with ISU after spending last season at Hutchinson Community College in Kansas. She averaged 11.9 points and 5.2 rebounds per game. West Delaware's Mike Morrison will be the first athletic director at Liberty High School in North Liberty. He was chosen among 80 applicants. He's got over 30 years of experience as a teacher and administrator on his resume. He'll start July 1st. Cubs beat the Dodgers today 4-0. Twins an 11-5 winner over the Tigers, and the White Sox continuing to pound the Cleveland Indians in downtown Cleveland. The score of that game at the moment is 7-1 in the top of the fourth inning. You got nothing. My Cadbury egg diatribe has sent this show far off the rails.
It wasn't that.
It can't be saved.
You've
had a Cadbury egg before,
I've learned
right?
a lot. Yeah, absolutely. I've learned a lot of things from you and...
That's your first mistake.
The other person that used to sit here, and he would always have a token about 10-second pause just to let the show breathe. I'm not trying to give away secrets here.
Which reminds me, I should probably read a liner right now, because we haven't told you about our community MVP program. We've partnered with our friends at Fairfax State Savings Bank to bring you the community MVP. If your organization has either a charity or fundraising event coming up, we really want to help you get the word out. If you submit your information to us at least 60 days before the event, we can get you on the air right here on KGYM. Go to KGYMradio.com and click on Community MVP to get started. While you're there, you can vote in our poll question at KGYMradio.com. We held it over for a second day, just like Titanic at the Opera House Theater in DeWitt back in the day. Who will win Iowa's starting quarterback job next fall? Will it be Nathan Stanley or Tyler Wiegers? Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to hear Ken O'Keefe yesterday in Iowa City addressing that very question. But first, before we get there, you'll hear from new wide receivers coach Kelton Copeland as he sort of lays down the law with Jermaine Smith. I found this to be the most fascinating thing coming out of yesterday's news conference. We'll play that audio for you when we return after this.
When I walk in the bank, there's two or three people that say, "Hey, Pat. Hi, Pat. How you doing? Thanks for coming in today." That's what makes a person feel special. It's a hometown feel.
Pat Loeffler is a busy guy with Carpenters Local 308 and his family, but he was proud to take time to talk about how Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust makes a difference to him.
Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust has made the commitment to me and the other union trades in town to be that union bank. You have a place that you can come in and sit down and talk with somebody on a personal level. That means a lot to my members. You're just not another number to them. You're a face and a name. They know you.
People you can bank on.
They're so approachable. Starts with the receptionist, Jeannie. I work with Brittany. I work with John Rodriguez. I've worked with numerous, you know, people at Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust over the years. They've been there for me every single time that I've asked them.
Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust. Meet them at peopleyoucanbankon.com.
My friends and family that I refer, they're always referring other people to Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust. That's the best part about it.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Associated Materials, one of the largest window manufacturers in the USA, has temp to hire first and second shift production positions open right now in Cedar Rapids. Work first shift and enjoy warm weather nights off, or sleep in and work second shift. With their new progressive pay increases, you'll get a raise every 30 days. And after 90 days on the job, first shift earns $12 an hour and second shift earns $13. Interested? Call 319-390-0600. 319-390-0600.
Progressive presents Mind Flowness with Flo.
You are on a spiritual journey towards savings. Your mind is drifting into uncharted territory as you use the Name Your Price tool to find policy options that fit your budget. Options that fit perfectly. Like football pants or the unitard thingies wrestlers wear.
Experience inner peace with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Look at your hands. What have they been doing lately? Being softly conditioned by life indoors? Or are they the restless instruments of change? At Valvoline, we believe in hands-on innovation. That's why we created Valvoline Full Synthetic, specially formulated to provide maximum engine protection against friction and wear. Valvoline, 150 years under the hood. For DIY tips, hot rides, cool merch, and exclusive content, head over to TeamValvoline.com. Join for free today.
20 minutes in front of the hour of 7 o'clock, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn and associate producer Jeff Downing with you on a Thursday night here in Cedar Rapids. 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. And our historic main gym frequency, 1600, heard all across eastern Iowa until the sun goes down. We're everywhere online at KGYMradio.com. Big show coming up for you tomorrow in Iowa City. Stop on in and join us. We will be on the premises at Coach's Corner from 3 until 7. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes get things started with the gym class. They'll have your last chance to win tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Colonels either next Saturday or Sunday as they take on the Kane County Cougars. That's the Class A affiliate of the Arizona Diamondbacks. And then Scott Unash is going to stick around and fill in for Alex, who will be making his way to Memphis. Jeff Johnson from the Cedar Rapids Gazette will talk a little Colonels baseball with us, as well as whatever else is on his mind. JJ is a big hockey fan.
UNI spring game as well.
UNI spring game also. And this is interesting. UNI was supposed to play its spring game next weekend, but there's a Florida-Georgia Line concert at the Unidome that is going to prevent them from having a spring game, so they're essentially going to have an open practice this weekend for their fans. So we'll talk a little UNI football with JJ, and then Jack Dom will be along with us for Touching All Bases. I'll have to clue Scott in that he's going to be involved in Love It or Leave It.
Oh, he knows.
Oh, he knows?
I let him know.
Scott really likes to do Would Ya. Scott was over the moon a couple weeks ago when he got to do Would Ya. We'll see what his reaction is with Love It or Leave It. We'll have a lot more Hawkeye football talk and more to come tomorrow at the Coach's Corner. It's 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard in Iowa City. The KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. Check them out in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. LinderTire.com. I mentioned Kelton Copeland yesterday, his comments about the Jeremy Smith situation. We were at Coach's Corner last week when Iowa announced at the open practice at West Des Moines that Brandon Snyder had torn his ACL and was out for the remainder of the spring, and that Jeremy Smith had been pulled from all team activities until he could get his academic stuff in order. And I really thought that this was an eye-opening, a couple comments from Kelton Copeland yesterday, because he's a first-year coach on campus. This is an area of concern for the Hawkeyes at wide receiver, and yet they're not bending over backwards from the sound of things to accommodate Jeremy Smith. That, look, he's off doing his own thing. The door is open for him to return to the team from the sound of it, but they're extremely disappointed in him. They're getting the message across, and life goes on whether he wants to be part of the team or not. He knows what he needs to do. Now it's up to him to do it. But this is a first-year coach in Kelton Copeland not beating around the bush about the Jeremy Smith situation that's hanging over the position group that he coaches. There's two of these cuts. We'll get the first one here with Kelton Copeland talking about what it's like to not have Jeremy Smith with the team right now. Spoiler alert, life goes on.
Well, it's all about who we have in the room. And my biggest focus is exactly that, who we have in the room working with. And, you know, to me, I always say it doesn't matter if you're on scholarship or you're a walk-on fourth or fifth-year guy or a true freshman walking in. The guys that I trust, that earn my trust and earn the trust of the rest of the coaching staff and their fellow teammates, those are the guys that are going to play, all right? And my biggest focus is coaching those guys that are in that room. So I can't be concerned about, you know, scholarship numbers, who's in the room, who's not in the room, who may be playing, who may not be playing because of injury or any other thing. My biggest focus are getting those guys better, developing that room, and growing that room as a whole. And that's what we're doing.
What do you think of that?
It's hard for us because we don't want to single out college students. But Jeremy Smith was a guy that, coming into last year, they really wanted to take a step forward, wanted him to take a step forward and be probably a top two or three receiver on that team. And Todd, we were at the spring game last year. We were at the kids' day before the year. And Jeremy Smith, you just got the sense that he was a little bit in the doghouse. Bobby Kennedy was constantly kind of on his behind about running through routes. There was talk before the season just that he's the first depth chart that came out. Jay Scheel was listed ahead of Germanic Smith on the depth chart. And then now this, it just seems like when you hear the tone of Kelton Copeland's voice, there's a little bit of it's up to him. And obviously he says that, but it's completely up to him. Either he gets it or he doesn't.
Chad Lystico, who joined us on the show yesterday from HawkCentral.com, the Des Moines Register's Iowa website, had an interesting exchange back and forth with him a little bit later on. And again, Kelton Copeland drives home the point that nobody's bigger than the program.
What is the program's plan for Germanic Smith? Kirk announced he'd be done for academics for the spring. What do you need to do now?
That's a question probably better directed towards Coach Ferentz. Like I said, my biggest focus at this point is coaching the guys that are in my room and on that field with me as a group, all right? And if you're not in that room right now for whatever the reason may be, then I'm not focused on that. My focus is developing that room with the guys that are in that room right now.
Do you guys take any hands-on with academics, though, as assistants?
As assistants, yes. We assist, if you want to put it that way, as assistants, we assist our academic staff, and their primary job is to do the hands-on work and make sure they're going to class, all those types of things. Our job as assistants is to assist them with that. Obviously, we have more hands-on, more time with the student-athletes themselves. So our job, in a sense, is to assist them, making sure our guys are being accountable, making sure that what they need to be doing academically.
Do you think he'll be back?
I hope so. I really do. I hope so. It's really up to him. The ball's in his court, so we'll see.
Do they need him? Probably, because their number one receiver right now is Matt Vandenberg, who hasn't played since last September and is one of these guys that seems to be a walking MASH unit. Something is going to go wrong with him. Banking on him playing a full season seems like a little bit of a stretch. They're down to, what, two guys right now?
They have.
Other than the incoming freshman that will hit campus over the summer.
So I guess Adrian Falconer is still listed in that on that depth chart. Nick Easley, the junior college transfer from Iowa Western, also listed on that depth chart.
Which I'm excited to see him.
There's a lot of chatter about him.
And that doesn't always translate. Damon Powell, there was a lot of chatter about him several years ago, and that never really translated into consistent big-time plays on the field. But I'm looking forward next Friday. Easley is one of the guys that I want to get an initial look at, even though it's just one night, and I don't like to jump to conclusions too much, but I trust my eyes, and I'll see whether or not he catches them.
I understand the frustration, and I'm listening to that, and maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but there just seems to be a little bit of frustration there, and I understand it because this is an offense that is installing their basic fundamentals of their offense right now. They have a new offensive coordinator. They have two new coaches on the offensive side of the football and two new quarterbacks, and that's the key right there. Two quarterbacks who have never started a single college game. And when you have a receiver, it is so important for a quarterback to build timing and chemistry with a receiver. And the spring is the best time to do it. The stakes are a little bit lower. They're, like I said, they're focusing on the very vanilla entry-level courses, basically, for a lack of a better term, of their offense. And him kind of getting suspended in this situation not only stunts his growth, but it stunts the growth of the entire offense because two quarterbacks will not be able to get those extra reps and build the chemistry throughout the spring. So from that sense, I understand this frustration 100%.
Well, and the frustration also stems from the fact that, come on.
Exactly.
You guys, and I'm talking about college football players, have a lot of benefits that aren't necessarily available to the general student population. These guys have an academic learning center that they can go to. They can get help in the classroom when they need it. above board. I'm not saying anything is infringing on the NCAA rules or anything here, but I know what Iowa can do for its athletes, not just football players, but softball players, rowers, golfers, whatever. If you need the help, you can get it. It's all about the effort that you want to put in the classroom. And the one thing Kirk Ferentz has been pretty consistent about now as we head toward year number 19 is this guy actually cares about the student part of student athlete. And again, nobody's bigger than the program, even at a position of need. Now, they're not booting him from the team. You know, I don't know how serious the issue is, but they're trying to open his eyes and get him to wake up, is what this looks like to me. But those are some pretty strong words, in my opinion, from Kelton Copeland, who's a first-year coach who seems pretty comfortable standing in front of the media and laying the law down on a player like Germanique Smith.
He just seems very businesslike, and you wouldn't expect anything else from a Kirk Ferentz assistant, but that's the fact of the matter right now, and that's what they need from a wide receivers coach. Because you can't, last year, after Matt Vandenberg went out with an injury, I'm not going to say that there was any sort of panic, but they were never able to get over that injury. They were never able to find even a number two or number three target, much less a number one target for C.J. Beathard. And the passing game really, really struggled, and they just couldn't find any answers. They need someone to not make those kind of, not that they were making excuses, but not use that as an excuse moving forward. The guys that are there, we're going to coach them up and develop them as much as we can. We can't worry about guys who are not getting reps for something that they put on themselves.
If you need a little comic relief from yesterday, they are still trying to put lipstick on the Greg Davis pig in Iowa City. This is Ken O'Keefe talking about giving Greg Davis the credit for developing one of the starting quarterback. They don't know who it's going to be, but they've got two guys vying for it. And Ken O'Keefe managed to say the following with a straight face.
Highly intelligent, they understand football. And, it's a credit to Greg Davis. He's done a great job with that. Great job teaching these guys. I told him, I told him during one of our first drill periods, they should, text him and tell him that he's done a great job with their feet, because of how, they weren't balanced for the most part. I'm going to try not to screw him up, which I may have done already. But anyway, Greg really did a great job, with those guys.
He's gone. You don't need to try to put salve on that and make it sound as if you had this great coach. I think we all know what the Greg Davis era at Iowa was, a failed experiment. But we continue to try to gloss things over and make that look better than it actually was. And come on, I'm not buying it, not for a second.
The more they talk about it, the less I buy it.
Exactly. It's like if I talk about some of these flaws on this house that I'm trying to sell you, the buyer won't think that I'm trying to pull one over on you. I'm interested to see who emerges as the starting quarterback, but I don't necessarily think that we have to go the next 2 or 3 years or however long that person is the starting quarterback continually praising Greg Davis. What was it, the footwork?
The footwork. Yeah,
his footwork. I told these guys.
Don't want to screw up the footwork.
I told these guys they should text him and say thank you.
Shoot him a text.
I hope these guys are texting, blowing his phone up every day, telling him how much they miss him. 319-366-1600. That is the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. About to go dormant for the evening, but we'll revisit it tomorrow at 3:00 during the gym class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, live from the Coach's Corner in Iowa City. It's the KGYM Road Trip, driven by Linder Tire. Are we ready for our final Midwest One Bank Big Board update? Jeff giving me the thumbs up from the penalty box, so here we go. The Cedar Rapids Colonels are taking on the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers tonight at Veterans Memorial Stadium, opening up a brief three-game homestand that'll end on Saturday. The Colonels sending Tyler Wells to the mound tonight, looking for his first victory of the season. No score through one inning so far this evening. The Colonels managed to take two or three games from Kane County on their most recent road trip. The Iowa softball team swept Nebraska Wednesday night at Pearl Field, taking game one 4-3 and then winning the nightcap 5-2. Iowa now 5-6 in the Big Ten. They'll host Rutgers for a three-game weekend series beginning Friday night. The Iowa State women's basketball team has added Australian transfer Bridie Kennedy-Hopway to its roster. The 6'4 forward signed with ISU after spending last year at Hutchinson Community College in Kansas. There she averaged 11.9 points and 5.2 rebounds per game. The Minnesota Twins beat the Tigers today 11-5 behind home runs from former Colonel Max Kepler as well as Miguel Sano. The Cubs shut out the Dodgers with Brett Anderson on the mound 4-0. He lowered his ERA to .84. Anthony Rizzo and Addison Russell both homered for the Cubs. White Sox currently leading Cleveland 7-1 in the fifth inning at Jacobs Field in downtown Cleveland. Again, Scott Unash filling in for you tomorrow. Alex, had I thought of it, I would have brought along my baseball card of your high school friend that you're going to see in Memphis over the weekend, but you're going to take in a little baseball and some Memphis spring football. Hopefully the weather cooperates with you. Stay away from Beale Street.
It's supposed to be 80 and sunny, and I cannot promise that second part.
Okay, well, just behave yourself.
And, no, I will.
I never had to bail my previous co-host out. I'm not going to do it for you either. Join us tomorrow at the Coach's Corner. It's the KGYM Road Trip driven by Linder Tire.
This is Dean's yard, and Dean's a pretty observant guy. But sneaky crabgrass lurks undetected until it rears its hideous head this summer. However, Dean's not only observant, he's smart. He uses Scott's Turf Builder Halt's crabgrass preventer with lawn food in early spring.